Today's shir is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph at the second line, the Itmar. At the end of our previous shir, the Gemara discussed a situation where somebody said that his assets will be given to children who are yet unborn. And what he said, and he also then said to one of his existing children, that you will get a share, an extra share perhaps, with that unborn child. So the Gemara said that the share that's being offered to the child that's not born is certainly not a valid kinyan, as we've been learning in our shurim. You can't make a kinyan with somebody who is not yet in the world. The question that comes up is, what about the child that is here already? Will the kinyan with him be valid or not? And the Gemara said that it's not valid because it's as if he said, kni k'chamor, as if he said, make a transaction with a donkey, which of course you can't make a transaction, a halachically valid transaction, at least with an animal. And therefore here, since you include in this transaction this child who is not born, the other part is also not considered a valid kinyan. So the Gemara discusses that halacha, ditma. The Gemara says, we learned, if somebody says knik chamor, loy kana. If somebody says that the transaction that's taking place between us should be like a transaction with a donkey, it's certainly not valid, because as we just explained, you can't do a transaction with a donkey. But what will be, he said, at v'chamor, you and the donkey should be recipients of this transaction. So there's a machloikus. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman's opinion is, kana chetza. You take ownership of 50%. Because the way to understand Rav Nachman, posh pshat, is that the person who's made the statement realizes a person is a person and a donkey is a donkey. And what he meant to say was that with the donkey, there's not going to be any kinyan. The 50% that I said about the donkey won't be a kinyan, but the 50% that I said regarding the human being will be a kinyan. Rav Nachman kana machza, Rav Nuna malay maklum. He doesn't take any ownership, because since the part of the kinyan with the donkey is obviously irrelevant, that disqualifies the entire transaction. The Rav Shesh Samar kana kol, he gets the entire asset. Before the Gemara goes into understanding the opinion of Rav Shesh, which the Gemara is going to focus on right now, so the way Rabbi Chanan explains the opinion, how do we understand the machloikis, says Rabbi Chanan, with a fundamental question, a question that I think we've actually discussed in our shiurim, and that is, if we have two individuals who are partners, how does the halacha view partners in an asset, in a transaction? How does halacha view partners? Does it mean that each one of us owns 100%? Or does partnership mean that we each own 50%? So if we say that it means that we each own 50%, so that so if we can't own 50%, we own 50%, my 50% is my 50%, and your 50% is your 50%. So if somebody says you and the donkey, the part that's to the donkey is going to be obviously irrelevant, and the part that's to the person is going to be relevant. If we say that each one really owns, however, 100%, so we can't say that in this case, because as we just finished saying, there's no way for the donkey to take ownership of any of this. And if the donkey can't take ownership of any of it, so then the entire transaction is void. But Rav Shesha says, no aminullah. So Shesha says, when you use this kind of wording, you become the owner of the entire asset. She says, where do I know this halacha? She says, this halacha is learned from Hilchas Truma. The Mishnah Masechta Trumas, Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, teaches us, you're allowed to take truma from the good on the bad. That means you don't have to take truma from every individual fruit. You could take from some fruit, you could use some fruit to be the truma for the entire basket that you're taking truma from. However, it only is that the halacha teaches us you should take from the better part, from good, you could take from good produce for bad produce, but you can't take from bad produce, you can't take from bad produce from good produce. Tyrim, the Mishnah says, Tyrim mina yafal ara, aloi mina rof, the Tanya. And now the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Omer, en l'chamar b'kishis, when you have a cucumber, the pnimi shabai, the inside of that cucumber is typically not going to be good. So the easiest way to understand this Gemara is somebody has 50 of these cucumbers, 50 of these pumpkins, and the shear of truma, the average shear, is 1/50. So he has 50 of these cucumbers, and he wants to take one to be the truma for the entire batch. But there's a problem, because the one that he's going to pick out, its inside is going to be bitter. Lefikach, so what should he do? Shutayrim, when he goes through such a procedure, Maisif, he should add al chitzin shabai, he should add to the outside of the cucumber that he's designating a truma, he should, which is presumably good, and add to it a little more of the outside of another cucumber, and like that, you'll be sure that you took only minayofa from which is good on for those 49, and now it's going to be a little less than 49 that you took. Tysus is not that satisfied with this approach, because Tysus says, if that is the fact of every cucumber, that the outside is good and the inside is bitter, so you're taking yofala yofa mina ra la ra. So why would you need to take any more than the one cucumber that you're going to have, that you have to take? So because of that question, that says Tosfos, that we have to explain that the inside is totally not edible. And since it's not edible, it can't serve as truma. But again, with the Rashbam Pshat, Lefikach shu tayrim, maisel chitchen boy v'tayrim. Says the Gemara Bamai, why does Rabbi Yossi say that it's going to be okay if you correct it? Says, if the inside is not good, so it's, why should it not be considered like a situation at v'chamarhu, that when we have one transaction, a part of the transaction is not valid, we're learning here that that disqualifies the entire transaction, according to Rav Amnuna, where Rav Amnuna said, Loi Oma Klum. The fact that Rav Sheshis says that the Mishnah over there gives us this option is clearly an indication that even if there's a problem with part of the designation, a part of the transaction, to say better, it doesn't disqualify the entire transaction. Answers the Gemara, that's not a question. Because there, it's different. Shani osan to midraisa truma ma'isi. Midraisa hatayim min ara ala yofa, it's acceptable. Dama Rabbi Lord tells us, minayin, where do we know that the halacha actually is? Latayim min ara ala yofa, she trumasa truma, that it is considered valid. Shenemar, the Torah, when it speaks about the halachas of separating trumas and ma'isris, says, v'loi sisu alof cheit barimchas chelba memenu. If you're going to take, when you take off truma, the Torah tells us that avoid doing it in a way that's not acceptable. So, and what does that mean? Taking minaro ala yofa, says the Gemara, v'meinu kodesh, but if what you're doing is not valid, so nasiyas chayit lama, why would there be considered an avera? So from here we learn that taking truma minaro ala yofa, even though it's not what the Torah wants us to do, however, mikav, from here we learn the Torah minaro ala yofa, that the halach is truma sa truma. So all the Rishonim ask, the Gemara at the beginning of Sechta Temura discusses the concept that Rava teaches us, komas adamal rachmana loisavid, everything that the Torah says don't do, if you ignored, loimahani, your actions are meaningless, but you still get Malkus, it's still considered an Aveira, because you violated what the Torah said. So then the question is, Gemara doesn't make any sense. We'll say that taking Truma Min Arah Al HaYofa is not valid, but the Torah is telling us that you'll get an Aveira by doing so, and even though what you did doesn't really count. So Tosfos Masechta Kedushin answers is, according to Rava, that this is a principle that applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, that even though what you did is not really effective, you're still considered an Aveira. So why did the Torah over here have to single out that there's an Aveira? If you're not allowed to do it, and it's ineffective, it's no different than anywhere else that the Torah says so. And why did the Torah have to say it over here? And therefore, from here, it's a raya that here, where the Torah says that there's an Aveira, the Torah is telling us, you'll have an Aveira, but what you did is effective. There's a very interesting question that the Poskim discuss. We know that Ma'aser Rishon has to be taken off every year in Eretz Yisrael, and the Ma'aser Rishon goes to the Levi. So there's somebody who had a esrog field, and he, as the halacha requires, he went and took off 10% of all the esrogim, and he gave them to a Levi, a friend, a colleague, a Levi. And this Levi was thrilled because he was certain that amongst all those esrogim that he received, he would find at least one esrog that was a kosher esrog, and he would have an esrog to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Dal Aminim. To his disappointment, he checked all of those esrogim, and he discovered that every one of those esrogim was not a kosher esrog. So now he went and he bent back to the person who gave him this and says, well, what you did should not be considered effective, because what you did just now is take Min Arah Al HaYofa. If all the esrogim that you're giving me for my serishin are esrogim which is apostle, that should be a perfect example of Min Arah Al HaYofa that we just finished learning is not a valid truma, or it's certainly not l'chatchila, and you certainly wanted to do the mitzvah in the most proper way. The person who did this responded by saying, by going to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and asking the question, is what happened here indeed a violation of Min Arah Al HaYofa, and therefore he wants to do it right? So he says, so Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, you have nothing to worry about, and what you did is not considered Min Arah Al HaYofa. He says, yes, we just finished learning a sugya that you're not supposed to take truma, and the same halacha applies by Maisa, Min Arah Al HaYofa. But how is Ra identified? He says, and how is Yofa identified? The identification of Ra and Yofa is not if it's a kosher esrig for the Dal Aminim or not a kosher esrig for the Dal Aminim. Rather, he explained, the definition of Ra is if it's not that quality, if it's not a good quality, as Al-Gamar just said, it's bitter versus good tasting. He says, as long as all of the sroigim you received in terms of size and quality for eating are of the same quality as the other esrogim in this field, giving you all these esrogim and even not finding one that's kosher is not a violation of Min Arah Al HaYofa. So now we began our shir with a discussion, what is the halacha kanivat v'chana? Amalei ramatcha l'ravashi. Mazar Rav Avya tuyufta. Rav Avya just asked a question on Rav Nachman Rav Huna, who said that kanivat v'chana is not valid. The Mishnah, from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ma'aseh b'cham shnoshim, there was a story with five women, behem shtei echayis, amongst those five women there were two sisters, v'likach echad kalkol shaltenim, somebody gathered a basket of dates, v'shel hen haisa, and it belonged to those women, v'shel shviyas haisa, it was the shmiyit year, v'amar, and he gave this basket to these five women, and he said, all of you become my wives with this basket. The kibble achsmahen, and one of them took ownership in this basket, they kulon, on behalf of all of them. Amr Chacham, so Chazal said, the women, the two sisters, are not considered married. The reason they're not considered married, the Rishonim give two explanations which are very similar to each other. Since, of course, one may not be married to two sisters, so, and he doesn't know, so by marrying two sisters, what he's doing, he can't live with the sister of his wife. So this would become a situation of Kedushin Shenim Esurim Labiyah. And the halacha is that a Kedushin that cannot lead to Biyah, because you can't have Biyah with either of these sisters, the halacha is that the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. Another way of explaining this, which is very similar, explained to Rishonim, the halacha is Kol She'ena B'zeh Hazeh. Anything that cannot be effective when they're done one after the other, B'bas Achas Nami. You know, it can't be effective when it's done at the same time. Here, you can't marry one sister after another sister. So since you can't marry one sister after another sister, you cannot marry two sisters simultaneously, and that's why the two sisters are not considered mekudeshes. What we do learn from here, however, as the Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph points out, that if somebody is mekadesh a woman with Pierre Shvius, it is considered a valid Kedushin, and we don't say that Pierre Shvius are not considered his, that we know that to affect the Kedushin, you have to only be able to do it with something that you actually own, but Pierre Shvius that you take are yours. Another halacha is that if you use something stolen, you're not affecting a Kedushin, and here he took somebody else's Paris. But here, since it was Shemitah, the Paris are not considered under the ownership of the women. They're Hefker, that anybody could take it. And therefore, even though these fruits really belong to these women, under the circumstances just described, it was valid for Kedushin. And the other halacha, the Gemara over there, teaches us that one woman could be a Shliach to be Makabel the Kedushin for all the other women, even though they're going to become tsaris. So not only could one woman accept Kedushin for other women, even in a case where they're all going to become tsaris, it's still effective. But ask the Gemara, Hanachrius, the two sisters that we just explained are not Mekudeshes. All the other ones are Mekudeshes. For my, at v'chamohi, just like the Kedushin with the sisters cannot be a valid Kedushin, so the Kedushin with the other one should not be a valid Kedushin. It's exactly the same as we started, as At V'chamor Amalei. So Rav Ashi said to Ramatcha, Hanad Chazoi, now I understand why Sorav Huna Ba'avi B'chaloimai. The Meisor of Avya to Yufta. Because Rav Avya is going to ask this question. In other words, explains the Rimigash. Rav Ashi saw a dream that Rav Huna, the son of Rav Avya, came to sit next to him, and he didn't know what that meant. But now, when Rav Mordechai told him the question of Avya, so Rav Ashi remembered that dream, and he says, now I understand why I saw that dream, because the message was that I'm going to be getting this question. Another pshat is that Rav Ashi assumed that this question is not a good question, and he said what you're speaking about is like what's spoken in a dream. Just like dreams are meaningless, this is all meaningless. Why? When he gave these baskets of fruit, he made it very clear that only the ones that could become mekudeshes should become mekudeshes. And those that can't become mekudeshes should not become mekudeshes. When it was stated in such a fashion, so then it wasn't at v'chamor, because he's deliberately taking out the person who's not entitled to that. He's taking out the person who's not entitled to that kedushin, and it's like removing the chamor from the discussion. Says the Gemara, somebody said, the Shchimer said to his wife, my assets should be yours and to you and my sons. That's the way Rabbeinu Gershom explains the Gemara that we're speaking here about a Shchimera. The Ritva says the Gemara is speaking here about a Shchemera or a Bari, both. The Chasi Loch Loch Lubanayich. Amar Rav Yosef, Kana Machtza. Even if there are many boys, she gets 50% of the assets. Amar Rav Yosef Menayla, why do we say so? Says the word of Tanya. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, the Pasuk says, regarding the Lechem upon him, we know that every Shabbos, they would put 12 loaves on the Shulchan. They would put 12 new loaves on the Shulchan and remove the 12 loaves that they put on Leah Shabbos. Those loaves would be now divided between the Kohanim. So, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef says, when we divide that, we give them Mechtz. We give Mechtz, Rabbi Yosef, so we see that when somebody says, I'm giving a gift to two parties, he means to give it 50-50. Amalei Abaya, says the Gemara, I don't understand your comparison. Bishlam Hasam, in that case, Aaron Bar Chalukahu, the Aaron is entitled to a share because Aaron is a Kayin. And the way I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara, even though every week there was a different Mishmar, Rav Chana explains the Gemara this way, but we know that the Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, wasn't included in the division amongst all the Mishmaris. So every week, Aaron is considered that as part of that Mishmar. So that Aaron should get a portion together with all the Kohanim of that week is obvious. So that's the case. Why did the Torah have to single out Aaron? Lahacha parat be'rachmana. Why did the Torah single him out? L'mishkal ba'paga, to get 50%. However, in the case that we're discussing, says Abaya, where he says, my wife and my children, ishalap as Yerushahi. A wife is really not entitled to any share of the Yerusha. So now when he is including her, what that inclusion should represent as v'dayoy, shatitel kechem abonim. It should be sufficient that she should get only like a share amongst all the sons, but not that she should get 50%. And the way the Ritva explains the Gemara, that when he's giving it to his wife, what he meant to say was, I want you to have a means of support, but not that you deserve to get 50%. So, says the Ritva, based on that, there would be a very big nafkamina the way the statement was said. If the statement was said that he's giving it to his wife and his children, so there we assume that what he meant to do is take care of his wife. And how does he take care of his wife? By giving her a share like he's giving all the children. But let's say he says on two people, not a wife, not a son, or to a person and his sons, who he has no obligation of support to, that you should get together, there's more reason to say, says the Ritva, that that individual should get 50%. Aini, ask the Gemara, if you're saying that the wife doesn't get 50%, ask the Gemara, if they have the Menador, there was a situation like this, in Adob, Vagme Shmuel Palga, and Shmuel gave the wife, indeed, 50%. Says the Gemara, but Tferia, and there was such a similar situation in Tferia, and the Gemara says again that he gave her Vagba, Rabbi Yochanan Palga, Rabbi Yochanan gave her 50%. For Sue, another question. Kiyasa Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef Amahu de Me Kalila, the Shadda de Be Malka. The government wanted to make a new crown for the king, and they said that who should pay for this new crown? Abuli Vestergeli. Abuli mean the wealthy people. Estraguli mean the people who are important people, but not necessarily so wealthy. Vama Rebbe. And Rebbe said that even though the Abuli, as we just described, are much wealthier than the Estragui, Nesu, Abuli Palga, Estragui Pala, they each have to give 50%. So we see from here that under all circumstances, we always go, ask the Gemara, 50-50. So why are you saying that's not? Answers the Gemara, that story is not a good raya with the crown. Hachi hashta. Hasmi kara kevakasva. Originally, if the king was looking to have his crown paid for, abuli avakasvi, he would have mandated that it came from the wealthy people. V'strigui av mesayi ba'adoi. And the strigui had to help along as much as they could. V'yodamalka davakam mesayi. And he knew that that would happen. So why did he have to go out of his way to write abuli v'strigui? My Kokasvi Abul of Estriguli was to say that I want Estrigui, it's not just enough that they should help as much as they can. What I want is they should give 50%. Ask the Gemara. So now we're saying wherever there are two involved, it always means 50-50. Remember the Hani Palga Vahani Palga. We always go 50-50. Masar of Zerah. So ask Zerah this. Somebody says, I'm a lie. Somebody says, I'm bringing on the Dovetar Beis HaMikdash, a Karban Mincha, of Meis Sarim. Olhavi B'Shnei Kelim, they're going to be brought in two separate vessels. So the halacha, as we know, is a Karban Mincha, there's no set amount, unless the Minchas that the Torah prescribes the formula, how much flour you could bring. But the halacha is that you can never bring in one vessel more than 60 Sarim of flour. And the Gemara often says in Shas, the reason is that the flour and oil that are put in a vessel are mixed together. And the Gemara says, when you have 60 asarin of flour or less, they're going to get mixed properly. But when you have more than that, the halacha is, then it won't be mixed properly. And the Gemara says that even though mixing is not required, the halacha is kol haroi lebila. If mixing is possible, ein bila ma'akevis, you don't have to do any actual mixing. The kol she'ein haroi lebila, if it's not able to be mixed, then bila ma'akevis. So you can't have a vessel that has more than 60 sarna flour in it. Maybe shishi mekliyachod, so you bring 60 in one vessel, fabar mekliyachod, and 40 in the next vessel. But if you brought it 50-50, yotza. What is the Gemara over there saying? If you divided it 50-50, it's acceptable. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't bring it that way. But ask the Gemara, if we're learning now in our shir, that whenever you express yourself this way, kol kai gavna, whenever you express yourself this way, it means palga palga, so why is it that you really should do 60-40, but if you did 50-50, we'll accept it. The halacha ought to be, 50-50 should be acceptable. Answer the Gemara, Hachi Ashtu, you can't compare the cases. Hasam, Anan Sadai, we're confident, we have an umdana, the high gavrimi, Karol Karban Gadol Kamechavin. He wanted to bring a Karban Mincha that's as big as possible. V'ayda Karban B'Shnei Kailim. So if he wants to bring a huge Karban Mincha, why do he say he's going to bring it in two separate vessels? Because the Yodi, he knew what we knew. The Le'ef Shlesui B'Kleyechad. Because he can never bring a Karban Mincha more than 60 Isarna 1 Keli. The Yodi, the Le'ef Shlesui B'Kleyechad. But what he wanted to do is come to Ef Shlesui as much as he can do. That's what he wanted to do. And therefore, the halacha is that he brings it in the fashion, l'chatchila, he should bring it 60-40. Concludes the Gemara with a number of subjects that we've been discussing in our Masechta. What is the halacha? The halacha is like Rabbi Yosef versus Rabba, the Sada. We spoke earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Yud Beis actually, where Rabba and Rabbi Yosef had a machloikas, where somebody bought a property next to one of the properties owned by his father, and the father passed away, and the son wants to get his share from the father's fields in the property that's closest to his, that we have a machloikus there, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. Inyan, next question is, when somebody made the deal between the seller and the buyer till when they could retract, according to Rabbi Yosef, as long as they're still talking about the deal, they could retract, or mechtza. That's our subject, where somebody said, Nechsilcha ol benecha. Rabbi Yosef says that the wife gets 50%. Then the halacha is, indeed, like Reb Yosef. Says the Gemara, who the shad piski the shidoy levesei. Somebody sent a piece of silk to his home without identifying from whom, to whom of his family he wants it to go to. So the Reino Gershom says that if he has a wife, it certainly goes to the wife. The Ritva says no. The Ritva says no. If he has a wife, why didn't he say that he wants it to go to his wife? And therefore, we don't automatically, he says, assume that it goes to the wife. Says Rav Ami, Haruyin Labonim, Labonim, if it's wearable by the sons, if something that the sons could use, it goes to the sons. Haruyin Labonis, Labonis. If it's usable both by men and women, so Yad Ramah says that they should divide it, but the Rambam's opinion is that if it's something that the boys can use, it always goes to the boys first. V'loya Marinheva, says the Gemara, El de Lesley Kalsa, that he doesn't have a daughter-in-law. Avesley Kalsa, if he has a daughter-in-law, the Kalsa Shada, we assume that he meant to give it to his daughter-in-law. V'imbansalei Nesivin, because, explained to Rishonim, he always is looking for the welfare of their son, and therefore treating his daughter-in-law is to the nicely is to the welfare of the son. Another pshat that Rishonim suggests is that daughters in those days would live with their husbands, where the husbands came from. So, and the sons would remain where his parents lived. So there was much more of a feeling of an obligation to support his sons, and by extension, his daughter-in-laws, versus the daughters who are living with their husband. However, says the Gemara, v'mbanse lo nesivin, if his daughters are not married, then it's very different. Lo shavik banse u'mashadal kolase, he's not going to ignore his daughters who are still at home and still need to get married. And that is something that the father feels very obligated to make sure that his daughter should get married. And therefore, in such a situation, he certainly has in mind his daughters over his daughter-in-laws. That the Shalos HaTshuvos, Chacham Tzvi, uses this Gemara to speak about an interesting halacha. The Gemara Masechta the Yevamos says that Mishum Aguna Kil Barabanan, in a case of Aguna, Chazal were very much lenient. But as much as we find that Chazal were lenient Mishum Aguna, there's certain people who are never believed. And that is a chamoisai, a mother-in-law. And the question that Chacham Tzvi discusses is, what about a father-in-law? And here he says that we see that there's a very big difference from our Gemara between a mother-in-law and a daughter, a mother-in-law and a father-in-law. A mother-in-law is not interested in her daughter-in-law's welfare. He may even try to harm her. She may try to harm her. A father-in-law does care for his daughter-in-law, and therefore we can believe a father-in-law. That the Rishonim, however, say, based on the Yerushalmi, that what we're discussing here is not a shchimera. If the person here is a shchimera, then we assume that everything that is given, they're given to fulfill the Hilchas Yerusha, and there the sons get it, no matter what the circumstances are. If the father, however, says the Rimigash, says the gifts are for my family, or he said the gifts are for my children, so then everything is divided equally, and all of the qualifications that our Gemara just discussed fall away. The Rambam disagrees, and he says that even if the person said that these are gifts for my children, the halacha that we just learned, that what's usable by sons should go to the sons, and what's usable by women should go to the women, still applies. The Rambam says that as long as the man is in good health, even if he said that these gifts should go to my sons, what's usable by women only should go to the women. And he said that, however, if it's you, if they're objects that are usable by men and women, then we say it should only go to the sons. Says the Mishnah Melech. He says that the Rambam's psak is that all non-gender related items in which the man said these gifts are for my son should go to the sons. If he said the gifts are for his family, then they divide it equally. Says the Gemara, Huda Amaloi, if somebody said, Nechasai Lebnai, and he said, my assets should go to my Bonai. But what happened here was, Havle Bro Barta, he had a son and a daughter. And the question is, Mi Karl Inch Lebro Bonai, does somebody call one son, Lashon Rabbim, my sons? And we say that he only meant to give assets to his sons? Idumma, we say, Le Karl Inch Lebro Bonai, somebody doesn't call one son my sons. And therefore, what he meant to do here was, he also wants to give his daughter a share in this gift. Amar Abaya, Toshma. The Pasuk says, Ubnei Don Chushim. So even though Don only had one son, the Torah uses Lashon Rabbim. So we see that the word B'nai, even if you use a Lashon Rabbim, it can mean only one son. Amalei Rav Dilma, maybe what the Torah means to say B'nei Don Chushim, K'netanei Becheskia, that his children were Merubim K'chushim Shokana. They should be as many as there are in a pile of sticks. Amalei Rav, the proof is from the Pasuk says, U'v'nei Paloi Aliyev. Rav Yosef says, the proof is U'v'nei Eisen Azariah. So the question that the Rishonim ask is that, yes, the Pasuk of B'nei Don Chushim has ended up not being a Raya, because B'nei Don Chushim, we say, means, well, we learned that he had many children. But once we had the Raya of Pasuk of B'nei Palo Aliyev, why was it necessary to say B'nei Eson Azariah? So I saw that the Rishonim, the Sefer Teres Chaim answers, that there's a concept which we will discuss, and that's Loshen Torah L'chud and Loshen B'nai Adam L'chud. The way people express themselves and the way the Torah expresses itself are not necessarily the same. So he says, so the Pasuk U'b'nei Palo Aliyov is a Pasuk in Chumash, and it's not something that's necessarily a way that we should use as a model how to express itself. So then says the Gemara, but the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim is a proof to this. And there, the rule is that Pesukim in Divrei Yomim are stated in Loshon B'nei Adam, in the way people speak. So the fact that it was said, that the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim ends up to bring a great raya. Says the Gemara, Ha'udah Amalei Nechas L'B'nai. Somebody said, I saw a beautiful story. There was somebody that survived World War II, but unfortunately, he survived World War II, and he didn't have he was the only one that survived, and he was very distraught that his large family was all wiped out. And somebody told him, U'b'nei Don Chushim. What do we learn from the Pasuk U'b'nei Don Chushim? That Don had only this one son, Chushim. But even though he had only this one son, Chushim, from that one son emerged such a huge family of one of the largest families of Klal Yisrael. It says, yes, it's a terrible tragedy that nobody's left over, but for now, one son from your one individual could grow so much. Somebody says, my assets should go to my children. Havle bro barbara. He had a son and a grandson. So the question is, whom did he mean? Do we say that he certainly included his grandson? Because Karl Inchula Barbara Bara, people say, they speak about their son, they say their grandson as well, Eloi. Says the Mara, Chaviva Makari Inchula Barbara Bara, and people call their grandson son, and therefore the grandson was included. And again, the way to understand this Gemara is if he had many sons, then of course we would say he meant only his sons and not his grandsons. This was an individual who only had one son. And because he only had one son, now we have a question, what did he mean? Did he mean his one son, or did he mean his son and a grandson? So, Chaviva Makar Inchel Bara Bara, and therefore meant his grandson. We say Mabarav Asham Loikarin Shlababarabara. Tanya Kavase the Mabar Rashi, that he certainly we do not include the grandson, because the Gemara says in Sechmim Darim, Hamuda Anabin Not Banim, the son of Yachmon Tzlan made a nether that he won't have any benefit from his children, Mutta B'nei Banim. That doesn't include grandchildren. And therefore, he certainly did not include the grandchildren are not included. The question is, what will be if he has daughters and grandsons, but no sons? Does Machloikus Rishonim, do we say he meant the daughters, or do we say he meant the grandson? Even though the Gemara here says that we don't hold that Bnei Banim Areim Kabanim, that grandchildren are included in the category of children, say that halacha is only regarding here who, when we say the word Banim, who is included and who is not included. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of Pura Rivia, if someone had a son, and because to fulfill the mitzvah of Pura Rivia, you have to have a son and a daughter, and somebody had a son, and then that son passed away, but that son left over children, you fulfill the mitzvah of Pura Rivia even that way. The Rishonim also, the Paiskim also say, based on our Gemara, that even though, as we said earlier in our Shir, that Loshen Torah L'chud, the way Torah expressed itself, and Loshen B'nai Adam L'chud, and the way people express themselves, are not necessarily the same, but when we don't have the option of knowing what is the Loshen B'nai Adam, when we don't know how to figure out where the Loshen B'nai Adam is, so there we certainly assume that we follow what is the way the Torah expressed itself. The Shal Shachuvis, Shvus Yaakov, discusses a question, and we'll discuss this more in our coming shir. What is the halacha if somebody said, I want to give to my descendants money? So there, clearly, he didn't mean only his children, because he said the word descendants, who is included? And the Shvus Yaakov says that it goes up to four generations. Another psak that he gives there was somebody that had grandsons and a stepson, and he said, I want to leave this in a Yerusha for my children. Who does he mean? Does he mean a stepson or his grandchildren? So there the halacha is that he means, that we say he certainly means his grandchildren and not his stepson, because Bonai means people who are blood relatives. There was somebody who lived in an apartment in Yerushalayim, and unfortunately he had no family, he had no children, but he had a neighbor who took care of him very well. And he left a will that the apartment should be given to my neighbors. And the question here is, the neighbor who always took care of him says he certainly meant me, because I was the one that always took care of him. The other neighbors said, no, he said that everybody, and since he said neighbors, when we say neighbors, we say that he must have meant all of us, and the fact that you took care of him more, then doesn't make a difference. So the Cheshuki Chemed discusses this question. He says, because the question is, in our Gemara, when he used the word sons, we've been having a discussion, who is and isn't included when you say the word sons. Now, how do we look at over there? So he says, in our Gemara, we're saying that somebody, and we have Rais from Psukim, that even somebody only has one son, he calls one son sons. But if somebody is speaking about a neighbor, there, if he meant only that specific neighbor, he would have said neighbor. The fact that he said neighbors cannot be ignored. When you use the word neighbors, it always means many. And we can't say that, well, he used the neighbors, but he certainly only meant one. And the halacha will be that all of the neighbors will get a share in that apartment.